hello, everyone. Welcome to the Weekly Yap, the Yes And Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Thomas. Once again, welcome to episode 33 of the Yap. Episode 33, this is the Larry Bird version of the Weekly Yap. Actually, no, it's not. It's just that Larry Bird was 33, and whenever I think of 33, I forever think of Larry Bird. So I promise that is the last Larry Bird reference for the Weekly Yap for this week. Actually, I'm really excited for our guest today. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Chris Harbor from New York City. And before I get into talking a little bit about Chris, I'm going to do some quick updates, and then we get right into the interview. So, quick updates. The next Yes 101 program, 30-day program, 30 days, 30 activities, coaching access to me. You're doing it with a community of people. It's a fun program, only $60, starts on Monday, May 9th. So that's coming up. Sign up on the website and jump into that program. Every three people that joins, the fourth one is free. You just can't beat that with a stick. Find a couple of friends, find a couple of family members who want to go through some fun transformation and jump into the Yes 101 program. I also want to say hi to the Atlanta YPO Southern 7. I will be heading there this week to speak next week on Monday, and then heading back down to Miami Beach for the World Blues Summit 2016, the Power Question Summit, which is all on what would you do if you weren't afraid. So an amazing two-day conference. I will be speaking with Matt Matheson. We are teaming up, my UK brother, to do a couple of improv sessions, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Again, Miami Beach. For more information, go to worldblue.com. You can still sign up for that, and it is a hugely transformational summit. A big fan of World Blue, Tracy Fenton, and everything to go with that. And again, of course, if you are feeling stuck professionally, if you're feeling stuck in your private life, if your team, organization is stuck, and just like my dog Mako is stuck trying to get into the studio right now, give me a call and we can set up a coaching plan that works for you, a Live Yes And coaching plan, and we will get you unstuck and living in your brilliance. So be in connection with me on that. So let's do this, guys. Episode 33, Chris Harbor. Chris has been a longtime friend of mine. We've known each other for about 15 years. He was an actor at the University of Miami Conservatory, a fantastic guy, super talented, moved to New York City to pursue his dream with a million other actors that do this every year, right? So to take on one of the hardest professions in the world to crack into. And Chris just made a living pursuing his dream and doing everything that every actor has to do to make it in New York City. And recently, a year or so ago, he moved on from acting and started with the organization Do Something, DoSomething.org, which is a wonderful organization online. Check it out, about people who are just trying to do great charity, do great projects, and it's so fantastic. And what's more impressive is hearing how Chris transitioned into this and what he has done since joining DoSomething.org. And so, without further ado, let's do something with Chris Harbor. And welcome, everyone. Take three. Take three.
This is literally the 12th time we've done this intro, everybody, so we're going to nail it.
We're having some microphone issues, but that's how we roll on the Live Yes And podcast. This is the Weekly Yap. Travis Thomas here, sitting outside with a good friend of mine. The odds of this interview actually taking place, they're working against us. So we'll see. If you're listening to this, that means things got progressively better. So I'm sitting outside with Chris Harbor, a good friend of mine for about the last 15 years, who's on vacation right now in Florida, but lives in New York City, works with an organization called DoSomething.org. And Chris, we're going to talk a little bit about Do Something. We'll get to you later. So let's start off with Do Something. What in the heck is Do Something, and what are you doing there?
First off, Travis, you look beautiful in the Florida sun this morning.
I appreciate that.
Really brings out all your greatest features.
Yeah. And which we have to celebrate at this point because we're still recording.
Aha, very good. Yes. Take 12 it is.
Yes.
DoSomething.org, the office is in New York City. This is one of the most amazing organizations that I've ever heard about and have the privilege to work for. It's basically the largest organization for young people and social change in the world. So we have 5 million 13 to 25-year-olds in about 130 different countries and the United States. And basically, we just get them to, we find ways for them to volunteer in their communities and create an impact based on the stuff they're most passionate about. So for instance, we just ran a campaign called Teens for Jeans, and we ask our 5 million members to basically collect as many jeans as you can for young people experiencing homelessness, and you got 1 month to do it. And, you know, we can go out and collect as many as 700,000 pairs of jeans. In fact, last year we clothed half of the homeless youth population in 1 month of running this campaign. So, you know, we have these 5 million unbelievable teenagers and 20-somethings around the world. And they're just doing incredible things. And I don't know. I love working there.
So how did you come about to work for Do Something?
So you sort of talked about, this could have been take one or take two, I'm not sure, but sort of this winding path. And I think sometimes when you want to be a creative person, it's just like there are so many twists and turns and things that you have to do along the way to get there. So I was actually an actor for 8 years in New York City. I went to school for acting, singing, acting, dancing at University of Miami down here, and, you know, did it for 8 years, and I loved it. I was on, you know, Law & Order and Ashoka, Gossip Girl, and did a bunch of musicals and plays and voiceover stuff and all this random things. And then I babysat, and then I did, you know, it's like I did a million jobs. I had a job where I was dancing at bar mitzvahs in like a Spider-Man costume, you know. You just sort of like, I tried to think about those days too much.
That's when you were really grateful for that degree.
Yes. That degree in acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the best dancing Spider-Man probably ever.
How did you prepare for that role, Chris?
Dancing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had to put on rollerblades, so I really just took out one rollerblade at a time. And then when I got my costume on, you know, you just got to stay focused.
Yeah.
And I just nailed it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I don't want to get stuck there.
Sure. No pun intended. Very good.
Spider-Man, that's good. all right, so you're living in New York. You're doing the actor thing. Yeah. Which, as we know, what, 90% of all actors are unemployed?
I'd say 99.2.
99.2, yes. And so in between auditions, in between work, you're having to make a living for yourself in the big city.
Yeah.
And I always enjoyed reconnecting and finding out what crazy new job Chris was doing now.
So 2 years ago, I have a tax guy because I ended up just never trying to file my own taxes because I had 25 1099s 2 years ago. So 25 different employers that at any moment could call me. And, you know, but that you sort of have to stitch it together when you want to be creative. You know, you have to do whatever you can so you can keep auditioning. You can drop everything and go do a show.
Yeah.
And I did it for, you know, 8 or 9 years. And I loved it. And then when I stopped loving it, which was about a year and a half ago, I really felt like I was ready to move on. I just sort of spent a lot of time sort of reflecting, and I like to start every morning and kind of just pray and just be quiet. And it sort of came to me to reach out to my best friends. So I basically sent an email to like 15 or 20 people, and I said, hey, I'm quitting acting. I have no idea what to do with my life. Help. Because I didn't know what else to do, you know. And by the way, if you go on Craigslist and you're just like, what should I do with my life? It is like a disaster. I do not recommend it. So I got back some responses and basically just sort of spent the next month talking to people, phone calls, friends of friends, meeting up with people for coffee, and just like finding out like what people do for a living. You know, because literally when you're an actor, you're so insulated in that community. I didn't even know like what other people did for jobs, like for how they made money. So I really just spent the next month sort of doing that and talking to people. And eventually a friend of a friend said, you should really check out DoSomething.org. I know you like working with young people. And then So the cool thing is they had this, they were looking for a temp, right? And they had this campaign called Comeback Clothes, where we ask young people to collect clothing that they don't want anymore. And instead of, you know, a lot of people throw their clothes away and they end up in landfills and ruin the environment, we ask them to take them to an H&M store who then, like, upcycles them. So basically they turn them into new clothes. They turn them into, you know, insulation and housing, and they ship them to other countries and stuff like that. So basically they wanted someone to come in and get more people to do comeback clothes, college kids specifically. And so I said, you know, like, I worked with young people for a long time. I have contacts at colleges. I'd love to spread the word on these college campuses. So I thankfully got hired for 3 months to be a temp and to help. And that first week, I just emailed every single person I could find at every single different college being like, hey, do you want to do comeback clothes? You know, I'm Chris at DoSomething.org. And I sent out about 100 emails, and like one person got back to me. It was like a total failure.
Yeah.
And that person's like, yeah, I'm good. So that was the only response I got. And I just felt like such a failure, you know, because I finally, for the first time, I'm working in an office environment. I just want to be helpful. I want to create an impact. And by the way, everyone in this office is so smart and is working so creatively and so efficiently. And I'm here like emailing college students, and they're basically telling me like no one cares, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was like a really awful weekend for me. I basically thought like I wouldn't probably be able to even work for 3 months there, because I'm like, I'm no help. Like, I don't know what to do. And then I thought about how much I love Xbox, Travis.
So, okay. All right. Connect those dots for us, Chris.
Right. So the great thing about Xbox, and by the way, I spent my whole 20s playing Xbox, specifically Call of Duty Zombies, is that they track all of your information, and you're on a continually updating, like, leaderboard type thing.
Yeah.
So you're always battling your friends. They track your stats. You know exactly where you stand. You have to come back to continue to play the game to up your stats, to get more badges. And I was like, I wonder if we can sort of just gamify comeback clothes, you know, like, instead of just like collect clothes to help save the environment, and like, you know, could it be a leaderboard? Could we somehow have these college students battle each other, represent their school, and maybe they would actually do it or do more of it? So I went in on Monday with my new plan. I went to my boss and I said, all right, I kind of have a crazy idea. I think we should turn this into just a massive competition. And she goes, okay, you can do whatever you want. You cannot bother the product team, the tech team, the marketing team, the campaigns team, the finance team. You got to do the whole thing yourself. And I was like, I can do that. And so all of a sudden, my Spider-Man training, you know, not the Spider-Man, but like, but like all the stuff that I had done 9 years previous sort of kicked in, you know, like hacking in New York City and trying to figure out how to make a living.
Yeah.
I just pulled all my resources and started thinking about all the creative ways I could get these college students to like represent their school and battle each other to save the environment, you know? So thankfully at that time we had about 2,000 summer interns from colleges who we couldn't let work and do something, because we can only take 20 people a year. And I basically emailed them and I was like, look, I'm trying this kind of wild idea. You're going to represent your school and battle these other 100, you know, 200 kids across the country and see how many clothes you can collect in 3 weeks. So I made it super short. It was a very obvious, like, call to action, a very simple thing. And basically, long story short, 3 weeks later, they'd collected 50,000 articles of clothes that were kept out of landfills and donated to be recycled at H&M. And it was a huge success. And my boss said, you should present this at a innovation meeting, which is every Wednesday. All like the innovative thinkers, they do like a slideshow presentation. And I put together all the data, got all my stats together, got all my slides. And here's the kicker. One of the girls in my competition was from a school in New Jersey. And I said, can you come sit in on innovation meeting and I can just like kick it to you and you can say exactly what it was like firsthand, which was a big hit at the meeting. And basically halfway through the meeting, the CEO is like, you know, we should have someone do this full time. And I think it should be you.
Oh, man.
And I got hired mid-meeting and started crying. which was really weird. I don't know why I cried. I was very emotional. It just felt so good to be valued, you know?
So you went from one email response of, I'm good, to 50,000 items of clothing donated in about 3 to 4 weeks period of time.
Yeah.
And to getting hired full time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you even know how to put a PowerPoint presentation together for the meeting?
Oh, no. It took me weeks to put this PowerPoint together. I didn't even know how to use Google anything. As an actor, it's just like, oh, I know backstage.com, and you, like, apply for an audition. But we use, like, all these communication tools. I'm sitting at a desk for the first time in my life. I'm 31 years old, you know. I just felt like a moron. I didn't know anything. So I basically just had everybody tried to help me. I didn't even know how to make a graph like on Google, whatever.
Yeah.
PowerPoint slides, whatever. So the answer is no. I didn't know how to do anything.
All right. So let's go back a little bit because I think this is super interesting. Obviously, what I'm always talking about is sort of that yes and mindset and how you basically kind of use what life has given you, as well as using just life experiences as fuel, as to build off of and respond to sort of current situations or current challenges. So you go back to all of those years kind of grinding the actor's life, and you mentioned that served you when it came to putting this campaign together. What are those skills or qualities that, because and I will say this, I have never tried to do the acting thing full time. I've always been trying to work in the real world and do, you know, work improv and theater on the side. Very few people can relate to the lifestyle of what an actor goes through, especially when you're in a New York, when you're in L.A., really trying to make it as a living. So what are those skills? What are those qualities that you have in order to stay in the game that long?
Boy, that's a really loaded question. I think the biggest thing is you just have to be, it is sort of a yes and thing. You just have to be super resilient. You know what I mean? Like, you, no matter what happens that day. And I mean, I had weeks where I had no money. I had to pay my rent, which in New York is incredibly expensive. And I would wake up and just be like, I just have to figure it out today. And whatever comes to me, I have to be open and willing and accepting of it. And sometimes I would just get a phone call and be like, hey, can you come, like, I don't know, like, do a child's birthday and like play sports, you know, with these kids. And or it would be like, hey, we have an audition for, you know, like there's a show called Boardwalk Empire. I don't know if it's still going right now, but
yeah, I'm not sure. Steve Buscemi, right?
Is it like season 4 or 5 or something?
I've never watched it.
At any rate,
that's not a very good plug for Boardwalk Empire.
It's a great show, incidentally. But, you know, they called me like, hey, we need like an extra to be on Boardwalk Empire. Can you do it? It's in like, you know, an hour. And I'd be like, yeah. And I would just hop on the subway. And it's amazing because I think when you're willing to be really open and really, and just be like that resiliency, no matter what happens, I'm going to go with it if it feels like it's right for me and just make it the best possible experience, you know? And so I remember specifically having things. So one of the first things I did was I was on Law and Order season like 20 or something, just as some background thing. But like when I got there, all the extra actors were just like sleeping. They like were on their phones. They weren't really paying attention. And there was a guy who was like in there actively pulling people for different parts. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to be like nice to him. I'm just going to be sort of open and like not asleep. And he came over to me. He's like, hey, do you want to get upgraded to being like a cop today? Which was sort of like a big deal for that episode. And because I was just a nice guy and I was just sort of being open and willing, I ended up being featured on that episode and getting a huge pay bump, which was awesome. And sort of that, I found that when you sort of have that attitude, those things kind of come to you. And I sort of just did the best as I could living that really every day for a long time.
So what is obviously that resiliency? And obviously you're in that world surrounded by other actors and other people that are trying to make it. What do you see as the number one reason that people tap out when they tap out?
Well, honestly, I think the biggest reason people end up not really being able to stay in the acting game is because they end up taking a job or jobs that tires them out so much that they can't keep the creative thing going. Mm. So, for instance, I have lots of friends in the restaurant industry, and they work until 4 in the morning, and then they're so tired the next day they can't get up for an audition at 9 a.m. So, I, you know, for me, it was always really important that every single thing that I did, I would able to, first of all, it gave me energy, and second of all, you know, didn't tire me out so much that I couldn't go to an audition or I couldn't leave it and go do a show. But yeah, I think it's really important that you find stuff that is gonna pay the bills and also sort of like keep the creative juices flowing in a way so that you're not just dead inside with the job you hate doing. You know, it's really important.
Yeah.
You gotta keep that energy going.
So you wake up a few years ago and you're just, you know what, I'm not wanting to do the acting thing anymore. So what is it about? So acting itself. So take that. The profession. All right, I'm ready to move on from this profession.
Which is a brutal decision, by the way.
Okay.
It's really hard to leave something that you've been only known for 9 years. You know, I thought I was going to let down my friends. I thought I was letting down my professors from 9 years ago. I thought I was letting down my degree was in acting. So it's like, great, I'm just going to throw this away. I spent 50 grand a year to go to school to be an actor, and now I don't want to do it anymore. I felt like a huge failure. It was really, really hard to leave something that I'd done for so long. Mm-hmm. I felt, you know, it took me a long time to get at peace with that. But I think you have to before you move on. I think you have to be like, you know what? I loved this. I learned a lot from it. But it is time to turn the page. And I have to be fully okay with that decision. And it was really hard to get to that.
So when I talk about purpose, purpose for me is it's not what you do. It's not your role. It's not your job. It's not your title. It's why you do everything that you do. So when you think about why you got into acting and why you enjoy acting, and then why you enjoy what you do now with Do Something, what's the parallel, what's the similarity or the thread that you see between the two?
I get all of my energy from connecting with and talking to other people. And in acting, you're on stage in front of hopefully thousands of people. Sometimes it was like two people for my improv shows in New York City.
A few of those.
Right,
yeah.
We've all been there. But I think it's like that connection with people, right? So it's like you're connecting with your cast, you're connecting with the audience, you're connecting to the material. And I think like that energy of using other people and bouncing ideas and energy and that yes and, you know, and just going with what people are giving you, I've always love doing that, have always been very passionate about it, and I knew that even when I left acting, I was going to have to find something that let me really connect with others. So at DoSomething.org, my job is talking to a lot of these young people and just encouraging them and helping them try to create an impact in their community. So they're texting us, they're emailing us, and for me, getting to constantly be plugged in to thousands and thousands of young people around the world, it's a perfect fit for me. It could not be better because I feel like I've always worked hard to be able to relate to everyone no matter where they're at. And so, you know, you have a young person who is, you know, trying to figure out how to either, like, get a scholarship for school. And then you have a young person who's like, well, I'm experiencing homelessness and I don't know what to do right now. And, you know, you're trying to basically find social actions that they can do that suit where they're at right now. So it's like you're solving many problems every single day.
Yeah.
But you're doing it with other people, which has always been important to me.
Yeah. So, all right, so now give us a little Do Something plug for any listener out there, whether it's a parent who has children or it is a young person out there under the age of 25, primarily is Do Something.
Yeah, primarily.
So give Do Something a little plug. What should they be doing? How do they get online? What's the easiest and fastest way for someone to get involved?
Sure. Just go to DoSomething.org. And you literally, whatever you're most passionate about, any cause that you want, animals, bullying, discrimination, whatever it is, we have a action that you can take right now, anywhere you are, anywhere you live, And if you prove it to us that you've done the action by sending us a picture, you're immediately eligible for at least a $5,000 scholarship for school. And also, if you sign up for some of our campaigns on the main, on the front page, you could also get into one of my competitions, because now they're actually on the website. Nice. They've gone from me emailing a couple people telling me that they hate me to to every single person that signs up for certain campaigns will be in a competition. We give away Amex cards and T-shirts and all sorts of fun stuff. So.
So you can go to do something, and you can either – you can join an existing sort of campaign, mm-hmm. or you can start your own.
We have 200 campaigns on the website.
Okay.
So it basically, whatever you're passionate about, you can go and sign up for a campaign. If you are interested in starting a campaign yourself, you can just email us. You go to the website and you just email us and say, hey, I would love to take action on, you know, elephants, because I know that their tusks are being sold on eBay and stuff like that. And then I'll tell you, actually, we have a campaign for that, because we really do have so many campaigns that whatever you're passionate about, you'll probably find on our website.
Fantastic. And of course, I mean, is there a Rack Friday campaign yet, Chris?
There isn't right now, no.
Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something about that? Can you do something about that?
I would like to do something about that.
Yeah.
Do you have $500,000?
I have, literally.
I'll take it.
Is that how the campaigns work? You just need 500 grand.
Right, that's the part I missed out.
Okay. So this is a pyramid scheme. Then.
Very good, right. Yes. Good. Yes. Yeah. Do something about pyramids. I am going to be fired from saying that.
No. So, yeah, we are going to talk again, because all of you Rack Friday fans out there who have been so great in getting involved the last couple of years, I think just obviously people can do things on their own. But I would love to find a way to gamify, to turn it into a competition, but I think there's definitely something there.
Totally.
All right, Chris, wrapping things up here. You know what? What is your biggest fear?
That's the wrap-up question?
Yeah. No, well, that's one of them.
Jeez,
that's
man.
One of them. That's one of them. See, I'm throwing it. I'm out of left field. I want to see what you got.
Oh, my God. My greatest fear.
Not like, you know, for me, not like swimming in the ocean and getting eaten by a shark.
Right.
Even though I live on the beach now.
Right. Yeah,
so that's my way of facing my fear. I don't go in the water, so I guess I'm not technically facing my fear.
You're definitely not if you do that.
But, you know, something like, fear as far as what's kind of hanging out on your shoulder each day as you go through your day, as you go through life. Just kind of whispering to you.
You know what it is, and I wonder if this ever kind of goes away, but it's a fear of not being good enough. And I felt like I have felt that even when I'm doing things exceptionally well and when I'm doing things not well at all, I'm sort of always afraid that people will be like, they'll like pull back the veil, be like, you're a phony. You're a phony, Chris. You know, and I'll be like, I know. But it's so weird, because I recognize that I'm doing really good work and I'm really happy about it. But I always have this little nagging thing that's basically saying like, yeah, but you're not good enough. You're going to screw this up. And it's just like, you know, you do your best to sort of wrestle with it and be like, no, look at the body of work I've done and look at the wonderful community I have and look at blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, it's just always there.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so bizarre.
All right, so off of that then, to expose the fraud a little bit, what's something interesting about you that not many people know?
I can speak with a perfect Bahamian accent.
Really?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
That is Bahamian. I'm not making that up. I lived in the Bahamas for 2 years.
I was going to say, give us the context to that.
I went to high school in the Bahamas for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand a word these people were saying, because I didn't speak it. They speak English, but it is like so.
Yeah.
They make up words for everything. And so basically, I couldn't talk to anybody for the first 2 months I lived there, because I didn't know what they were saying. But now I speak Bahamian, which is just weird English.
Yeah. I love it. That's impressive.
Thank you.
All right. Fill in the blank. Oh, man.
You should be filling in the blank here,
like
Travis.
By the end of 5 years, I can't wait to blank.
By the end of 5 years, I can't wait to look back on those last 5 years and feel proud of myself. I think that would be awesome to be like, look at what I've done. I was freaked out here. I struggled here. It was great here. But you know what? I freaking did it. That will be a nice feeling if I can do that in 5 years.
It kind of sounds like you may have done something.
Ah, very good.
You like that?
.org.
You like that?
.org.
Is donesomething.org taken? Can I start my own rival website?
We've actually bought that out.
Yeah.
Oh, my other great skill is the voiceover announcer guy for movie previews.
All right, let's
In a world where the water is everywhere, Britney Spears will find you. Something like that.
That's good.
Very good.
That's good. Is that a new film with Britney Spears?
Yes.
Yes.
And she will find you.
Yes. Ah, fantastic. So, well, that about does it, man. You've got some work to do, and you're supposed to meet my 8-year-old son at the beach, or you will break his heart.
Very good. I'm a middle child, too, so I know how brutal that can be when the plans fall through, so I hear you, dude.
All right, that is it for today's Weekly Yap. Special, special thank you to my main man here, Chris Harbour. For those of you, go out, check out DoSomething.org. For crying out loud, people, do something. Do something. It's so easy nowadays. That's it. Chris, man, are you online, social media? Where can people connect with you directly?
Absolutely. So Twitter, at Chris Harbour. I have a weird last name spelling. It's H-A-R-B-U-R. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all the things. Chris Harbour, LinkedIn. I'd love to chat, hang out. Feel free to send me any questions.
Fantastically. And you're single, aren't you, Chris?
Whoa, Trav, don't mind if I do.
I'm just trying to do something for you, brother.
Newly single, thank you.
Yeah.
You rackers out there.
Yeah.
They called rackers?
Rackers?
Yeah. Rack Friday?
Here? Rack Friday. And they are okay, now. They are now.
Very good, you rackers. You rackers.
All right, there you have it. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
You got it. And thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's Weekly Yap. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yes and Day.